Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
The Cubby House is a show about two cub-identifying guys exploring the big and hairy issues in and around the bear community.
This program is designed for a mature audience. It may contain adult themes, sex and drug references, and of course, coarse language. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Cubby House for the 5th of March. I'm Cookie.
And I'm Kevin.
And might we say a big woof to the Kiss My Arts crew. Thank you very much for another week.
He's quite a bear himself, isn't he? He's got quite a beard.
He's got a beard. I'm curious about the chest hair now.
We'll have to get him on one day and actually just take a photo with us just, you know, nuzzling his beard.
But on tonight's show, we do have a return guest. We've had on once before. Hello, Mr. Phil.
Hello there. Thank you for having me on again.
We really love our repeat offenders, don't we?
We do. We do. I think we've just got a little black book. We just keep ticking them off every few times.
And I keep offending and offending and offending.
Well, look, if we didn't like you, we wouldn't get you back on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's nice to know that I'm loved by somebody.
No. So, let's see what's on tonight's show. I do believe I'm starting off with the Kink Corner, and we're going to be looking at some new potential additions from 2012's.
Potential additions?
Potential. These have been recommended for the hanky codes.
So. We'll see if they're ready for consumption. Mm-hmm. I'll have a look through a quick field trip through Southern Hibernation.
I think I'd get a bit of a geek on. I watched a clip the Muppets did on Ted. Scooter actually did a Ted episode, and he was arguing that felt could be done as good as CGI. So we asked the question, can Muppets do as good as CGI in the movies?
I'll also then talk about the step back for gay rights in St. Petersburg in Russia.
I have a 30-day challenge for anybody who's got a camera phone. We'll go through the first 7 days that you'll be challenged at.
Like it. And I'll also have a proper Get Your Geek On session with the best of geekdom this month so far.
Now, we do have a question, as always, for tonight. And considering we've noticed Phil has quite a nice battle scar on his arm from an injury.
There's a couple of battle scars there.
Yes. What is something, what's one of the craziest things your pet has ever done to you?
Want to have your say on the Cubby House project? Contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. The Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9.
And thank you very much to the person who's SMS'd in on 0427JOY949, who quite enjoys the music from us Cubs tonight. Thank you very
much. Apparently Cubs are awesome.
Yes. Now, we would not have this person in the studio if we weren't going to run him through the gauntlet of questions that we got everybody to run through now.
Oh, God, I barely survived the last round.
Yes, here
we've got new questions this time.
Here yes, on the Cubby House, we have got new questions for our guest host tonight, Phil Webster.
Okay, how can I embarrass myself this time around? Fire away.
We'll bring up what happened last time in a little bit, but let's start you with some new ones.
Of course, these new questions will inevitably lead to the answers from the old questions. So please, fire away.
All right. What is your age?
43.
Name one thing you miss about being a kid.
Not being able to take my teddy bears to bed and feel guilty about it.
There are lots of bears that do that. Well, I'm going to keep quiet now. Do you have any hidden talents?
Well, I displayed my biggest hidden talent on stage during Man Boobs. I also sing. I'm a very fine first tenor.
What's the last thing you bought?
I have to admit, after playing at Poor Play at Vic Bear's Last Den Night, I had to go out and buy a video game.
Yes. What body part do you get caught staring at?
People's asses.
What's your current obsession?
My current obsession, one of the many. I have a lifelong obsession with technology. So my current obsession is to make all of my bits of stereo equipment talk to each other nicely. Sounds wirelessly.
Like, sounds a bit like our house.
Yeah, it's kind of like Nerdvana at my place.
Do you have any phobias?
I do. I have a strange phobia about eating things like shellfish that look exactly the same to eat when they're cooked as they do when they're live. So things like dropping a lobster into a pot, I cannot watch. I scream like a girl.
Okay. Interesting.
Fair enough. Very detailed. Yes. I like it. Yes. So you're not afraid of the usual stuff like spiders or anything?
No, absolutely not. No, spiders are fine.
Right, I'll be calling you when a spider's at my place then.
Yep, sexually. And when there's a lobster in my pot, it's your number that I'll be calling.
Love it.
Yes. Sexually, what melts your butter?
Okay, furry man, about 6 foot tall, in a pair of chaps at my front door.
Strange enough, didn't Chewbacca wear chaps?
And so the descent begins. A harness. For those of you out there that remember the last time that I was on, all of the answers to my questions ended up revolving around my love for Star Wars and how I have this strange obsession with making love to Chewbacca. I happened to mention that I like furry guys, which is, as a bear, is fairly natural. But somehow the Star Wars metaphor got totally and utterly misconstrued. So for those of you out there that sort of wonder where this is coming from, this is where they're trying to go. So in that vein, let's continue.
It just continues in its own sort of sense.
Star Wars will come up a bit later too.
All right. Okay. You wake up in a prison cell. What is most likely the crime that you've committed?
Probably making love to Chewbacca.
We don't even have to do anything.
Okay, seriously. What's the crime you've committed?
Probably sort of some obscene late night sex act.
Okay.
I like it.
You're about to be sent to a deserted island and can only carry up to 3 of your possessions. Which ones would they be?
My iPad. My emergency hug teddy bear.
Aww.
One more.
My iPod. My iPhone.
Okay. Now, let's re-go through that. If you were not allowed to take any technology, what 3 items would you take?
I wouldn't. I'd just die.
You know, you're not going to take a rope or a knife or anything so you can survive.
I am a techno nerd bear. I do not survive with that technology. Camping is a bit weird for me.
So in other words, you're going to take another person with you that knows camping skills.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it just happens to be 6 foot really furry and
yeah, and I'll just bring along the Wi-Fi and I'll just bring along the Wi-Fi access point. Yeah.
Finally, have you answered any of these questions with a lie?
Well, I might have lied slightly about the Chewbacca thing, but you just never know. I do know some really hairy people.
Very quickly.
I can see this. And finally, Mr. Webster, how did you get involved in the bear community?
I found bears on the internet back in about 1994, and then was so fascinated by bear culture that I moved to Melbourne in 1997 just as Vic Bears was forming. So,
and you're now on the Vic Bears committee, aren't you?
Again, yes.
Again.
You've literally done nearly every single role, haven't you?
The ancient collective memory of Vic Bears. I feel like breaking out the Nana rug and, you know, and breaking it a song, but, you know.
He's like the Ursulus Major.
Yeah, I'm kind of like the Urban Dictionary. You know, if people want to know, you know, what we did and why we did it and oh my God, have we done this before? I'm usually the first person that people talk to.
I know I do.
Mm-hmm. Now, on the Kibbe House, we are asking the question, what's the weirdest thing your pet has ever done to you? There is SMS 0427 JOY949, or we're also checking it up on Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse.
And just after this, Cookie will be joining us for Kink Corner, taking us through some new hanky codes, apparently, which I'm still questioning. And I'll take us for a quick field trip through Southern Hibernation.
And I just, during that song, I'd like to thank Sean for SMSing in on 0427-9949. We will get to your message very soon.
Yeah.
Yes, very funny. Now, we have been asking everybody tonight on the Cubby House, what is the craziest thing a pet has ever done to you?
Want to have your say on the Cubby House project? Contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. The Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9.
And on the Cubby House, we also have one of our regular segments, this one. Be careful what you're wearing. You never know what you're asking for here on the Kink Corner. This week, we look at some possible new additions to the Hanky Code, introduced in 2012 by Dylan, who's of noodlesandbeef@tumblr.com. Now, he's got four items here, and I'd like to get your feedback here in the studio as to what you think of these. Now, I don't know if it's left or right, depending on how these are implied, but the first one is a napkin with a mustard stain, implies in search of sloppy seconds.
Or, I suppose, is sloppy seconds for to be searched? I don't know.
Left or right? I don't know.
Yeah, that gets into a conversation that's probably not best for radio.
As if we wouldn't go there anyway.
Do you reckon that'd work, though? It's like, do you want to stain your jeans while you're wearing this thing around?
Oh, no. Look, I'm sure there are ways of making sure that mustard stain does not go through. You know,
trust gay men to find ways to make sure that mustard doesn't stain their jeans.
Well, there's a hanky, there's a way.
Yes. All right. Now, this one, which I don't know how dated this could be, but a Game Boy in the pocket implies a player-seeking joystick. So I'd assume that's right. So you're looking for... Or
you are a joystick.
A joystick looking for player would be of the left. Now, a Game Boy, I kind of...
It's so retro, I love it.
It is retro. I'm thinking...
I'm just trying to think if I can fit my PS3 controller in my back pocket.
Well, what's other, some other small consoles that you can
Well, there's the, you know, there's the Nintendo DS. Mm-hmm. That's pocket-sized. That would be if you're looking for a 3D enhanced joystick experience. And the freshly launched PlayStation Vita, which is probably too big to fit in your back pocket, but that's, you know, if you're too cool to use a Nintendo DS.
I can just imagine someone leaving like the remote control to their remote control, the dildo, in their back pocket as well.
Well, I'm sure. Look, I'm sure these things will come in time.
Yes, yes. Well, yeah, I don't know how bad I sit with that one. The third one, which is recommended, is a headphones and pink sunglasses douchebag for same. I don't know how that one would go.
Yeah, I like to confine my douching to the shower.
Yes, same.
Doesn't that kind of... You can't really work, because two douchebags don't really work. It's like two bottoms. It just, yeah, it doesn't click.
No, I wouldn't necessarily say that. You can get double adapters for that purpose.
I knew there was a reason we kept inviting you back.
Now, the final one, which I'd probably, out of all of them, this would probably be the one I'd accept to go into the official records, is a Canadian flag in the back pocket implies you're polite in bed.
The Canadians that I've experienced have both been polite and very good in bed, so I'd stick with that.
Mm. Kevin?
I do like Canadians.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay.
But I'm thinking that could also be kind of to their detriment, because some people don't want polite in their beds.
True.
Some people want sweaty, sweaty man sex.
But you can have sweaty, sweaty man sex and not be, yeah, and be polite about it. It's like,
oh yes, I can imagine it with, you know, crumpets and tea.
No, it's all about please and thank you. Please, sir, can I have another?
That works.
So, out of curiosity, if we're going to throw flags in our pockets as hankies, what would you reckon the German flag would be? Nothing scares me.
Filthy, filthy, filthy is just another way of saying orange.
Oh, that's an interesting one too.
I like the South African one.
Mm-hmm.
Takes any colour.
Ooh.
I'm not touching that. No.
And that's King Corner for the Cubby House this week. Now, Kevin, you're in the preparation with the committee to organise the yearly entourage of events known as Southern Hibernation.
I certainly am, and I thought it would probably be a good idea to go through a little bit of a history or a field trip of Southern Hibernation, and it's perfect that we happen to have Phil in here as well, because he's probably one of the most experienced VicBears committee members that we have when it comes to this.
I was back around in the day, you know.
The day?
Well, it all started back in 1997, when we had the Mr. Melbourne Bear and Cub Contest. It wasn't called Southern Hibernation back then. And it wasn't a VicBears only event back then. It was produced in conjunction with No Attitude Guys, so it was a joint event.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two winners. The bear title went to Mr. Randall Robinson, who is the a first bear winner, and cub went to a guy by the name of Don Marshall.
Oh, good memory, good memory. Mm-hmm.
I did my homework before I arrived. It's okay.
Fair enough. So how did you get involved in the whole deal?
Well, back in the early days of the internets, where before chat rooms became popular, there was a little program called IRC, called Internet Relay Chat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the reasons why bear culture came to Australia, because bears in Australia were chatting to bears overseas, having really simple conversations like age, stats, location, please send me your photos now. ASL.
ASL, I remember that.
So a lot of the people that I was chatting to on the internets were people like Roy Burns and the founders of VicBears.
Mm.
And when I moved to Melbourne in 1997, it was a very small core group of people, and it was like a family it was my new family. And we started the club, and it's been going longer and stronger ever since.
Perfect. So what sort of roles have you played in Southern Hibernation over the years?
Oh, what haven't I done? It's kind of...
fluffer?
I knew that was
going to happen. No, I haven't been the fluffer. I have... the interesting thing is although people find this hard to believe, I'm more of a quiet, shy bear when it comes to getting up on stage and behind the microphone. So...
Until
I was president, then I had to. So you know, but look, I was secretary for 5 years, so I've been very good at organising spreadsheets and databases. Long before current president Rob Cam has elevated it to its highest art form.
It is an art form now. So, what are some of your best memories of Southern Hibernation in the past?
We have had such a really interesting group of guys come along to compete during Southern Hibernation. Some of the most memorable moments are someone deciding that it would be a great fantasy act to be a lumberjack, complete with live axe.
And he's okay.
And he's okay.
Unfortunately, the audience wasn't.
No, the audience was fine. There were kind of OH&S rules put in place after that, though. There was the live poetry reading.
As a fantasy scene.
It was very alternative. I think there was some jelly wrestling at some point.
Yes.
Which then introduced the rules of no liquids on stage.
Yeah, which kind of pushed the boundaries and make rules after them.
which kind of then got questioned, I think, the year after when a candle demonstration was actually done.
Yeah, there are some... it's one of those things that, once you start thinking about those dreadful worlds... Public liability insurance. Everything tends to take on a whole new aspect. And of course, when you're dealing with the managers of a venue, they are less concerned about the entertainment as they are about their public liability premium. So there's a balancing act there somewhere that has to be had.
I think one of my favourite moments of Southern Hibernations that I've experienced has to be last year, where the winner, Mr. Matt Cutler, actually proposed to his partner on stage.
Mm. That's pretty amazing.
I remember there wasn't a dry eye in the entire pub.
For me, one of the highlights was many years ago when KSR did her very first zoo tour of the zoo. Could you imagine 50 or so bears wandering around Melbourne Zoo with KSR in all her finery... with KSR telling us all how to eat them, cook them, and prepare them.
Oh my gosh. Well, I believe there's a rumour going around at the moment that we might actually have that coming back for this year, correct?
I think it may well be due for a return.
Yes. good, because I missed it the first time. And just wrapping up this section, in today's acceptance of the bear culture, do you think the contest itself is still necessary?
Well, the contest itself, yeah, isn't really about selecting the most popular or the most attractive. The contest has always been about selecting a representative of Australian beardom to represent us overseas, you know, overseas contest. So, you know, in that kind of, you know, vein, it's still as valid as it was before. Australians have, taken the whole idea of beardom and made it their own. And it's kind of nice to have our representative to, you know, take that and show the rest of the world what we've come up with and how it's done.
A reason for us to celebrate our own version of beardom.
Absolutely.
Mm. Well, I think it is still necessary. I still like it.
Yes, I would agree to that. No end. You're on the Cubby House on Joy 94.9. We do have Mr. Phil Webster joining us on the panel tonight.
And he will be with us for the rest of the next half an hour as well.
Indeed, which will be joined by Fluoro at 11 o'clock. But one of the things I have looked up, and I think Phil really enjoys one of these arguments, is the concept in movies these days, how CGI has now taken the role of what used to be portrayed by Muppets or by, you know, heavy makeup or that, or the like, in method acting. Now, one of the things I saw on Gizmodo.com was Scooter, who's one of the Muppets, actually gets up on one of the TED conferences. Now, for anybody who hasn't heard of TED, TED is like the Oscars, but for nerds. So you think about it in that way. Now, he places the argument that in a graphically enhanced environment of movies, that the feel can even... the felt Muppets can't compare, if not do better, than what CGI does. Now, what I would like your opinions on in the room, has CGI been a wow factor, but at the detriment of core plot lines in movies?
Look, I don't think so. I mean, CGI has become incredibly ubiquitous. It's CGI has become so photorealistic now that it's impossible to tell where reality ends and CGI begins. But that means that when CGI is used intelligently, you know, it can be an incredibly enhanced the story. Take Yoda during, you know, in Star Wars, for example. In the, you know, the first set of movies, episodes, you know, 4 through 6, Yoda was, you know, essentially a Muppet. In all of the remakes, he became CGI. But the that moment in episode 2, when Yoda sort of comes out in walking on this walking stick, throws his walking stick down, and then becomes this super ninja, with a lightsaber. Every nerd lost, you know, wet their pants at that moment. I mean, and it's those things that, you know, enhance the experience. But on the other side, I mean, for those people who like to, you know, trawl around the net as I want to do, go on YouTube and go search for Muppet Studio. And the things that the Muppets are doing now are absolutely amazing.
Hmm. Well, we also have our very own Scruppets, which seem to be making their rounds.
Very true, very true. What I was more getting at is you compare movies like, say, The Dark Crystal and Transformers, the modern remake of Transformers. The Dark Crystal was a very Muppet-based movie, and it took a lot of time and energy, and you got a progressive storyline. And it was, you know, heartfelt. You got the idea throughout the story. You look at something like Transformers, and it's CGI for CGI's sake.
Dark Crystal was fantastic, and Transformers was crap.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, something that's done for something's sake. So when Muppets are done, they're done well, but sometimes when CGI is done, it perhaps is just done for the wow factor sake.
I think there was a little bit of that. New technology, trying to get, you know, something out there to wow and show what, you know, they're capable of doing. But I think in both cases, it's a tool. And in the right hands, it's used really well. In the wrong hands, it's done very badly.
Yep, it's like any tool. It's not about, you know, how good the tool is. It's about how you use it.
We have had a caller in. Thank you very much to Mason for taking this one. Graham from Bundoora. mentioned that when he was at his parents' farm, his cow knocked him over and mounted him. Correct
me if I'm wrong here, just for interrupting for a second, but aren't cows women?
Yes.
Yes. Bulls are male.
Yes. Men. Yep. So he was mounted by a woman?
Yes. Have you ever had a dog come up and try to hump your leg?
Well, yes, but not a female dog.
Well, female dogs still do it. It is that sort of motion. And apparently, dogs have also done the same thing to him. Thank you very much, Graham, from Madura.
That's what
for
happens
that
when you wear that dog hanky in your back pocket.
Now, that was also in response to the question, what is the craziest thing your pet has ever done?
Want to have your say on the Cubby House project? Contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse.
SMS 0427 JOY 949.
Email at onair@joy.org.au.
Or use the Joy 94.9 iPhone app to listen in and send in your feedback.
The Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9.
And if you missed the top of the show, you probably wouldn't know what we're about to talk about next, like this. From around the den to around the globe, this is the Bear News.
LBGTI rights this week took a step back in St. Petersburg, Russia. This week, the legislative, I'm going to be able to speak tonight, assembly passed the homosexual propaganda law, otherwise called the gay gag rule, that defines homosexual propaganda as the targeted and uncontrolled dissemination of generally accessible information capable of harming the health and moral and spiritual development of minors that could create a distorted impression of marital relations.
Lovely.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's a mouthful, yes.
Yeah. Now, it is important to note that Russia decriminalized homosexuality in 1993, but only removed it from the list of mental illnesses in 1999.
Charming.
Now, the head of Russian LGBTI network, Igor Kochetkov, also slammed the legislation, saying, "Officially, homosexuality will be considered illegal, something incorrect and something that cannot be discussed with children. It will create a negative atmosphere in society around gays and lesbians, as well as our organizations." Now, there is actually a clause in the law that allows them to be fined. Individuals can be fined up to $16,000, and organizations can be fined up to $160,000 per offense.
Wow.
It's actually pretty bad. It's being taken to, I think it's the mayor of St. Petersburg, who actually decides whether this law comes in or not. And he's got a set number of days, I think it's only 7 days left, to decide whether he wants to veto it or not. But apparently, it looks like it will not be vetoed. Now, on Tuesday, AllOut.org members were joined by dozens of human rights organizations around the world in demonstrations at Russian embassies all over the world. In solidarity with the coalition of Russian human rights organizations opposing the law, the flash mobs delivered more than 300,000 signatures collected worldwide that demonstrated the level of global opposition to this proposed law. And they also employ a creative visual, sending a loud and clear message to the governor, there you go, governor of St. Petersburg, who has the power to veto the law. Now, I've actually seen the video that they've proposed, and I'll be posting it up on our Facebook, which is facebook.com/thecubbyhouse a little bit later. It is a brilliant ad. Absolutely brilliant. And at the moment, you can also go to allout.org and sign the petition, which is the "I won't go there" letter to the governor of St. Petersburg, explaining that if you silence us, we simply won't go. Their main drive this year apparently was to raise tourism in the city.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
They didn't do that one very well.
No.
And that's it for Bear News.
Thank you very much. You're in the Cubby House on Joy 94.9. Now, I did say at the top of the show, I have a 30-day photo challenge for anybody that has a camera. And yes, I'm including an iPhone or iPad in this. And I believe we just had a message from somebody's iPad and who asked, what about Avatar in our discussion of CGI versus felt?
Avatar has gotten both really good publicity and really bad publicity. So I think it's kind of a mixed bag with that one. I loved it. I personally
but
loved
yeah,
it.
The story itself could not have been done without that level of CGI.
Absolutely not.
True, but it wasn't a very deep story as well. But the wow factor, I was quite impressed with. I would be one of those movies I'd like to watch.
I happen to like the storyline myself.
Yes.
And so do I. I'm looking forward to the next one.
Oh, there's a second one?
There's supposed to be a trilogy.
Oh, wow. I'm impressed. All right. Well, we'll now actually go to the next segment that we've just hijacked.
I know. Thank you very much. Photo challenge. Yes, for anybody who does have a camera on their phone, whatever, I challenge you to the 30 days of photographing something. Now, the first 7 days go very simply like this. Day one is a self-portrait.
Oh, because we all love those.
Yes, shouldn't be too hard. Take whatever you like. Day two is what you wore on the day. Now, if you wanted to be really creative and try and recreate the whole rapture joke, lay them out as if you'd just been taken by the rapture and photograph that. Send that to your friends.
I've seen a couple of photos like that. They were very well done.
Day three is quite simply take photos of clouds.
That's not so easy to do.
Particularly if it's a clear day, yes.
It's Melbourne. Just wait 5 minutes and it'll happen.
Yeah, true.
Well, the other option is you can take fluffy clouds, like mix something in a thing of water and take photos of clouds like that. It works. Day four is something green. Very simple. Could be grass, plants.
Anything green.
Anything green. Like your shirt that you're happily wearing today, Kevin.
Oh, I am too. I didn't even realise.
There you go.
Yeah, I just keep on flashing back to somewhere that's green from Little Shop of Horrors.
Day five is from a high angle. Now, this is what I really recommend. Be smart about it, not stupid. Don't get up on the edge of a roof and try to shoot something that you're about to fall off the roof for.
Don't drop your camera.
That too. Yes, wear the strap. Wear the strap, damn it.
And get iPhone insurance.
Or that too. Yes. Day six is obviously then from a low angle. And day seven, finally, is a fruit. And no, not any gay person, an actual fruit.
Damn it.
Well, considering you'd be considered a grapefruit if that was the case, Kevin. You callous his hair. So that is your 7-day start to the 30-day challenge, and I will post the full listings on the Facebook page, facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. Oh, is this time that I should be adding something a little more to the...
That small moment of embarrassment where you realise you haven't put the number into the pad.
Exploring the world, keeping you jacked in and turned on. That's right. Get your geek on.
Yes, I was not jacked in for that one.
Clearly you were distracted by my hair, weren't you?
Trying to insult you, of course.
You try. Anyway, on this episode of Get Your Geek On, we've prowled through Gizmodo and picked up some pretty funky stories from the month of February, actually. And I thought I'd share some of them with you. First one that comes to mind is Iron Sky. Iron Sky is a sci-fi comedy film that sees Nazis attacking Earth with a space fleet built on the dark side of the moon after World War II.
Like, we haven't heard that story before.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, Transformers did it really badly, so.
Well, Transformers does a lot of things badly. A delightfully tacky concept brought to life by online crowdsourcing, funding, and co-producing from Australia, Finland, and Germany. After positive reception at the Berlin Film Festival this month, it may even see an Aussie theatrical release. You might actually see it. Now, the reason I wanted to bring Iron Sky up is that it's one of a new wave of productions. Now, films including Artemis Eternal, The Cosmonaut, and A Swarm of Angels are produced in collaboration with an online community of film enthusiasts that are creating a new kind of participatory cinema, which tries to involve a film's community in the process of actually making the movies, rather than the interaction being left to the cinema viewers at the end of the process.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, is that implying that if you put in, say, $100, you get $100 worth of input into the whole creative process?
Well, every film's a little bit different on how it handles that, and it's important to actually go and have a look at the film's website to realise what you actually get bang for your buck. But I know, for instance, with Iron Sky, that you put in a certain amount of money and you do get certain creative input into the actual process. Now, I don't believe that means that you get to have final say.
No, because obviously the director and producer would have
exactly
ultimate final say because they're the ones making it.
Yeah, but the idea is that you get to see, you know, production sets or anything like that and sort of give your input on what the look of the movie should be, some of the dialogue, some of the angles of the film. Like, you get to put your feedback in before the movie actually comes out. I'm actually rather excited to see how it goes.
So would I.
Excellent.
What's something else?
The other one I managed to find was self-heating clothing.
You are?
Oh, yeah. Scientists in, I'm going to try and pronounce this, Hokkaido University are currently developing a soft, washable fabric woven with carbon nanotube-coated fibers that produce heat when electricity is applied to it. So when it's perfected, your electric blanket could get a lot less bulky. The material has been developed since in about 2007, but recent advancements in carbon nanotube technology have given its creators hope that it could be used in commercial products as early as 2013, next year. Once this expensive material can be mass-produced so that it comes with a consumer-friendly price tag, products such as heated sidewalk mats and cushions could start hitting the market.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing lots of applications for it. Basically, the main reason that it's not out is because it's waiting to be proven safe for use. Let's face it, it's a fabric that they're pumping electricity through.
Well, I would like my underwear to sort of keep my butt warm, wouldn't you?
I would, but I wouldn't want it to short out and electrocute me.
That or give me the cardiac arrest.
I mean, not when I'm not expecting it. I mean, there are probably people that are into e-stim that would like to combine the two.
I'm sure that your undies will come with an off switch.
Because that's just what everyone wants.
Absolutely.
And just very quickly, I'll try and go through this very quickly. A new advertising campaign commissioned by children's charity Plan UK has hit Oxford Street in London about a week ago. And it's using a rather interesting method of proving a point. As part of the I Am A Girl campaign, the viewing of this digital billboard is limited to females and confirmed through facial recognition technology. The choice to restrict the ad's content to women only is meant to highlight the fact that women and girls across the world are denied choices and opportunities on a daily basis due to poverty and discrimination, according to Plan UK. Although we're not giving men and boys the choice to see the full ad on this occasion, so they get a glimpse of what it's like to have their basic choices taken away, it is important to note that boys and men play a vital role in helping girls to be all that they can be, added Marie Staunton, which is Plan UK's CEO. Now, it's not just a case of, you know, it scans random passerbys. You actually have to walk up, push a button, it'll then scan your face, and then decide whether you are or not a female, and then shows you the ad.
Okay.
But that's just the beginning of where advertising is going. Everything now is the big trend now is targeted advertising. So, you know, the advertising of the future, you'll walk down the street and you'll get ads specifically tailored to you.
Well, having a discussion with some of my friends about this, some of the questions that really came up was, wouldn't it be a blow to your ego if you were misidentified as the opposite gender?
Yeah, that happens to me every time when I answer the phone.
Well, I don't think it's voice recognition, but... and I also wonder what impact it would have on the transsexual community.
Yeah. It's always a difficult one if you're trying to digitize.
Yeah, so I'll be looking to see if there is any fallout from this and keeping my eye on it.
You're in the Cubby House, the other sex show on Joy 94.9. And we have, as always, considering we always have that add-on, one last question for our guest of the night, Mr. Phil Webster.
Okay, does it relate back to Chewbacca in any way?
Possibly.
Potentially.
Okay, fire.
What's your one most important piece of sex advice for anyone listening?
Enjoy your body. Never be afraid. You'll be surprised what you can do and how much fun you can have.
Well spoken.
I like it. Thank you very much for joining us for this episode.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Man. Now, we have been asking throughout the whole show, what's the craziest thing a pet's ever done to you, considering Phil's had his battle scars recently? We thought we'd ask you, and we've got some interesting responses. Thank you very much to those who have dabbed in.
We do have. Ray says, not strange, but I do have permanent scars on my back to explain where my cat got its name Logan from.
Right. Tim says, whatever pet he actually has, it threw him off and then stomped on his arm, breaking it. You got every six-year-old girl's dream for a Christmas present? A pony.
I could see him riding a pony.
Yes, I'm sure you could.
I got woke up in the middle of the night with my cat sucking my nipple.
Moving right along.
That's an appropriate silence.
Yes.
Kendall, good old listener he is, says his cat packed himself in a box. He knew something was up and didn't want to be left behind.
Aww. Aww. Wonderful story. Adorable. Now, Daniel Kenneth, might I say, Mr. Frosty Dan.
Frosty Dan.
Frosty Dan. Now, he says his rabbit bit him directly on the nipple through his shirt. He threw it several feet into the air, and he was bleeding profusely. His first tit torture session.
Wow. I used to have a cat that slept in my hoodie.
Oh, okay.
And I remember one night forgetting to remember that it was there. Took my hoodie off, dumped it on the ground, and all you hear is a meow.
Is that like the equivalent of sort of carrying your little dog around in a handbag?
Potentially. Every time I played WoW, I just had these two little paws sitting on my shoulder and this head popping over my shoulder watching me play.
That's the ultimate in kitty nerd.
Yes. I have to admit, my first pet was a corgi and it was docked at the tail. And it was sad to hear, but when it actually wagged, its whole bum moved because there was no tail.
Excellent. Well, if you would like to jump in on the discussion yourself, there's plenty of ways you can do that.
Yes.
You can jump on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/thecubbyhouse.
There is email if you want to speak to us directly. It's contact@thecubbyhouse.net.au.
And there is also our website, which is very soon to be updated, thecubbyhouse.net.au.
Every podcast I listen back to, I update it with a little bit more information. So there you go. There's the ways to contact us. Now, I believe Tracy is getting the time machine all prepped and ready to go back in time to the 80s.
The love
music.
It.
So, for tonight, I've been Cookie.
And I've been Kevin.
And I've been Phil.
Thank you very much for joining us. And we'll be back next Monday at 10 o'clock here on Joy 94.9. We are the Cubby House.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.